Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you more, God, that you've given us your Holy Spirit to be with us always. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would prepare our ears to hear that which you want to say and help our spirits to receive it, to transform our lives. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last week, I tried to challenge your salvation or to get you to question or challenge your salvation so you would get assurance of your salvation at the end of it. Because I see so many people call themselves Christian, and I don't see any aspect of a life being lived for God or with God. And then I see people in the church that have served for a long time, and then when they go through certain things, they question their salvation and doubt, you know, do I really even know God? And, you know, it's kind of a done deal. So I wanted to get us to understand that it's not a three-step process. It's not, did you check the boxes? It's not a legal process. It's not a contract. But it's a covenantal relationship with your Creator. And, you know, I went through the marriage process, and there's a, quote, legal process, but there was something that was written on my heart. You know, I vowed myself to my wife, made a covenant with her, and established this relationship that God ordained called marriage, right? And then you live that out. I don't ever doubt what I did. I just have an obligation and responsibility to honor what I did. So there shouldn't be any doubt of your salvation if you've made a heart covenant with your Creator, gave yourself to make Jesus Lord, to accept Him as your Savior. It's a done deal. And what does He do? We found at the end, He seals it with the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our life. So I want to talk a little bit today about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's probably impossible to cover all the aspects of that, and it's different for everybody how they experience and all that, but there's one passage I want to mainly stay in, and then we'll follow up with that with different people and stuff as time allows in the weeks to come. So, function of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7. Now, my wife corrected me this morning that when I get a lot of scriptures, I start reading them really fast to the point that I lose my breath and can hardly get the words out. And that's true. But I kind of do that in purpose because there's a lot there and I want to get it in. I get so excited about the scripture. So I'll try to slow down and let the scripture do some speaking. It says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. This is Jesus speaking. Now, I can't think of any time in my life that I would buy the argument from my wife that it is for my good that she's going away. Why? Because I desire her presence more than anything. I'm going to get you food. I desire her presence more than food. I desire her presence more than sleep. I desire her presence. I didn't get married to be alone. So I can't imagine how the disciples felt, really, at this. But Jesus was, He was telling a truth here that we have to understand. So it was for our good that He left. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Do you understand who He is in you? When He comes, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because people do not believe in me. about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Now I want to look at this passage different than I've looked at it before. And I'm not telling you this is what it says. I'm telling you what it says to me that I believe we need to receive. Okay? Why? Because I want to look to it relationally. Because I believe all the things he's saying here in he will prove the world to be wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment involves relationship with me and relationship with you. And you say, well, how can it say that when he says he's talking about the world? And that's what I want to talk about, okay? So about sin. I'll say at best this is, through working in and through your life, people in the world will get convicted about sin. Absent you going and being you, they may never hear and may never get convicted about sin. If it was that simple, Holy Spirit coming, the whole world would already be convicted about sin. But no. He desires relationship with you, which means walking and talking with him, doing things with him. And through you living your life, those that don't know him may come to know him. So, Acts 1:8. We're all familiar with this passage. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I think that covers a lot of territory. The key word in all that is you will receive power. You know, us being Pentecostal, I know tongues was a real important thing, and I'm not dismissing that at all, but the key to it was that you will receive power. Do you understand who is in you? Do you understand who is desiring to relate to you and what he's trying to transfer into you and through you? He's trying to give you power to live the life that he's called you to live. Holy Spirit in you is power. What does that power look like? It looks like exactly what Leslie described. I walk into place and there's trouble and I bring peace. I break up chaos. Why? Because I'm present. And in me, this vessel is power of the Holy Spirit. It changes everything. Do you understand what's in you? Do you understand how you walking into the darkest places in this world brings light? Do you understand how light dispels darkness? In you, there should be no fear, because light dispels. The enemy knows who's in you. You don't have to fear the enemy. The enemy should fear you. We see in the Bible with the sons of Sceva, and he says, well, Jesus, I know, the demon, right? Paul, I know, but who are you guys? Then he whoops them silly. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. They just knew the name of Jesus, which is why salvation's important. And understanding upon salvation, who's in you? All the demons in hell should say, Austin, I know. Terry, I know. They walk in, I leave. Come on now. Yeah, I have no fear of the demonic. None. They have no right. I have right. Why? Because who's in me? Everywhere I walk, it's the kingdom of God. They don't get it. It's not the world anymore. It's the kingdom of God. I'm an ambassador. I get to claim the land. You get to claim the land. You walk in a place filled with people that don't know Jesus, get what? You get to show them Jesus. They don't get to show you the world. You get to show them Jesus. John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. See, the world doesn't see him, but they see you. You want the Holy Spirit to impact the world? You want the Holy Spirit to impact your office? Just go to your office. He's in you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you that changes everything. It's time the world sees you and sees who's in you. Romans 10:14 says, how then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And John 15:26 says this, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify. For you have been with me from the beginning. See, your purpose is to receive the Holy Spirit, function in him about sin, so the world meets Jesus. That's his function in you. Without that relationship happening, they may not hear. You have to understand you are sent. You have to understand you are sent fully prepared, fully equipped, lacking nothing in power. See, we see stories in the Bible. David understood who was on his side. And he didn't need everything that Saul thought he needed, right? All his armor and all that stuff. All he needed was a few rocks and a sling. Because he knew that who was on his side. Do you know who's in you? I'm telling you, you don't act like it. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? I look at myself and say the same thing. I am not saying nothing to you I won't say to myself. Either we're world changers or we're not, because we don't always act like it. If we truly understood who's in us and what is at our disposal, we would behave differently. We would behave differently. What's it take? Relationship. He functions in and through you to convict the world of sin. So, about righteousness, it's actually a three-pointer: sin, righteousness, judgment. The purpose of his function in you for the world is to convict them of sin. The purpose of his function in and through you is to convict you of righteousness. See, we're really comfortable talking about sin, you know, and I have my own views on it that are right. And I think we can focus too much on sin as Christians when we should be talking about righteousness. And righteousness is a very relational word means I maintain right standing with whom I am in relationship with. It means I want to do the things that enhance that relationship continually. That's my endeavor. That's my goal. It's about righteousness. See, Jesus reconciled us to the Father. Now we have a relationship that we have to walk out. So, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, don't come to me telling me you're a sinner if you've given Jesus your heart. Come to me with any struggle you'll have, but identify what the word says, and you are the righteousness of God if you are saved. Okay? And we're not probably going to talk about any struggle you have. We're going to be talking about righteousness. The word's really simple. It's very relational. Jesus said it. If you love me, you'll do the things that please my heart. My version. Right? But that's really what he's saying. If you love me, I'll know it because you're doing all the things that please me. He doesn't say, I'll know you love me because you don't do this, 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 and you check that box, and then we're on to the next list, next page, and we got 60 things on there, and then we'll get to 100 more, and once you've done all that, then I'll know. He's made it real simple. Problem with us is we would prefer rules and a list. And that's not how the Holy Spirit relates to us. He relates to us as the righteousness of God. 1 Timothy 6:11. What are we to do? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. We have a part to play. What's it called? A relationship. I told you last week. Pulled into a little candlelight chapel in Vegas, said our I do's, we actually stayed together. We got in the same car, kept driving, and we've been together ever since. We didn't go our separate ways. No, we related. How do you pursue righteousness? Pursue the relationship. Do you talk to the Holy Spirit? He's present in your life for power. What will he do? He'll convict you of righteousness. What's that mean? He's going to say what pleases the Father. It's powerful stuff if you grab hold of it. It'll change your life if you understand what's been given you. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace and joy in the one that's been given to you. I don't know about you, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. I don't know about you, but I don't like living in this world. I like living in the kingdom of God. So my desire is wherever I go in this world is to be conscious of where I really am, a citizen of the kingdom of God. It's a much better place. Has the answers for every question this world could ever throw at me. And it's nothing but righteousness with God. In the Holy Spirit, righteousness has been given you. John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things. And will remind you of everything I have said to you. Sometimes, all we need is a gentle reminder. Anyone ever been married knows sometimes it's not so gentle. But it is a reminder. Holy Spirit is pretty gentle. You don't know where to go? Just listen. Just relax. Rest in him. Hear his still small voice. You'll know which way to go. It'll always lead righteousness, because he's there to function in and through you for your sake about righteousness. Now the last one. I didn't know really where to go with this, So I have two like chapters. Problem within these chapters, being honest, is I could stop anywhere and get lost because they're really good. So my vow to you is to not do that. I'm going to read it, let you know why I picked that chapter about this so we can get through it. Because otherwise I start reading and I get excited about something and I can bunny trail, and I don't want to do that. But that is what the word does to you as you read it. It comes alive. Okay? And it does things in you. You know, and then you want to explore it. You dive into it. We have that in Bible study every now and then. You know, you get in a verse and you can't pass the verse. You know, so the rest has to wait for another day. So, we'll see how this goes. About judgment. We talked about Holy Spirit's function, about sin, Holy Spirit's function, about righteousness. Both from a relational aspect. I'm not talking about any of the legal law things we want to throw at. There isn't any rules for the relationship. But what about judgment? Christians should get really excited about this one too. Go back to that verse. You don't need to change it. About judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Don't talk to me about being stuck in sin when you've been forgiven. He is condemned. All he can do is lie to you. 1 Corinthians 2:9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now I'll pause. And yes, I did pick that word because it has that passage, because it has the words judgments in it. But I want you to understand the function of the Holy Spirit working in and through you is so you can always be in the face of the enemy. See, what is he talking about? He says, the prince of this world's condemned. Your job is to allow Holy Spirit to work in you so you're a constant reminder to his defeat. You understand, every time you just simply get out of the boat and do something with Holy Spirit, you're reminding the enemy that he's condemned. Every time you relate to the Holy Spirit, you start walking in victory, you rub it in the face because he's defeated. Amen. Do you understand the victory you have in Jesus? We get to live it every day. You know what a joy it is to cast demons out? You know what a joy is? Just walk in and say, you can't be here because I'm here and I know who's in me. Do you understand? That's a judgment on them. You're the judge because the judge is in you, and he's already given you victory. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror in every situation. Why? Because his function in relating to you is to judge them. It's done. Walk in it. Relating to the Holy Spirit is fun. It's time we have some joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:1. Really awesome passage. Romans is a great book. I'm going to read the whole passage. Romans 8, whole chapter. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Quit beating yourselves up. That's just a lie from the enemy. Amen. If your assurance is, if you are assured of your salvation, quit condemning yourself. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation. Walk free. It's for freedom he set you free. You know, that's why Jesus said, you know, get behind me, Satan, when Peter said something wrong. Because those wrong things aren't righteousness. They don't come from Holy Spirit. They come from somewhere else. Quit buying into that. Just get rid of it. How do I get rid of it? You get rid of it. You don't pick it up. You lay it down. You keep going. It's really simple. Know who's in you. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Oh, really going there. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It's really easy to know which path you're on and which thought is which. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Which is what we're talking about, the Spirit of God in us. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. I want to say something. You need healing? Touch yourself right now. Holy Spirit's function is to quicken your mortal body. This is my mortal body. You know, it's his obligation to be at work in my mortal body. He needs to patch up this vessel sometimes. Sometimes I'm leaky. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. All kinds of judgment going on here if you understand what I'm saying. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I really included this passage just because of this part. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So what am I saying about judgment in this passage? I'm saying the Holy Spirit in our lives tells us we're a child of God. You can just stand with me. It'll remind me to close. Children of God, rise. Why? Because you just made a judgment to the enemy. Can't touch us. That's judgment. You can't touch us. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm His. You have no right. Right now, you have no right. Simple identification because of the Holy Spirit in our lives as being a child of God lets us walk boldly around in this world. No right to touch us. You can't touch me. You can't touch my inheritance. And I'd love to rub in your face what I know I will receive in that day. Because you're done with, and I get to go on forever and ever with my Lord. See, the function of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world about sin through us. Convict us of righteousness so we maintain proper relationship with God and we pursue proper relationship with God. And to remind the enemy that he's already defeated. You're the victor because he's in you. So Heavenly Father, I just ask that you give people revelation about Holy Spirit. Who he is in them, what he's doing in them, what he's guiding them into, what he's revealing, what he wants to show them, how important every breath they take is to him, what he wants to do with them today, what he wants to do with them tomorrow, what he's doing in demolishing arguments and strongholds and principalities and powers simply because they're faithful in relating to him. Give them revelation, God, of the power that has come into their lives to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons, to do all the things that Jesus did and more. You've given us you. What more do we need? Father, give them revelation of how to live victorious in you and to make you known to everyone they encounter. In Jesus' name, amen.